cattle prices bounced higher on Friday. Beware knee-jerk reactions with proposed cash market legislation. Coming up on your Cattle Current Market Update with Wes Ishmore. Howdy doll, this is Wes Ishmal with an expanded edition of your Cattle Current Market Update for the late weekend and Monday morning, the 18th of May. Although too few to trend, negotiated cash-fed cattle prices bounced higher on Friday at $120 a hundredweight on a live basis in the Southern Plains and at $119 to $120 in Nebraska. Also too few to trend, dress prices in Nebraska were at $190. Regionally for the week, cash-fed cattle prices were $10 to $15 higher on a live basis at $115 in Kansas, $119 to $120 in Nebraska, and $115 in the Western Corn Belt. AMS reported live prices in the Texas Panhandle at mostly $110, while the Texas Cattle Feeders Association reported its members trading steers at a weighted average price of $112.53 and heifers at $113.29. Dress prices in the north were $10 to $30 higher at $180. The 5-area direct weighted average steer price through Thursday was $11.36 higher than the previous week at $111.40. The average price in the beef was $19.90 higher at $179.30. Support included the apparent recovery of packing capacity, albeit slowly. Estimated slaughter under federal inspection last week was 499,000 head, which was 47,000 head more than the previous week and 74,000 head more than 2 weeks earlier, but still 163,000 head fewer than the same week last year, according to the Agricultural Marketing Service. Wholesale beef values declined sharply Wednesday, the first day-to-day decline since April 8th, likely signaling the COVID skew top was established. Choice boxed beef cutout value was $26.56 lower week-to-week on Friday at $434.32 a hundredweight. Select was $29.93 lower at $419.06. Anyway, cash price strength helped lift cattle futures on Friday. They were an average of 62 cents higher across a range of 15 cents to 287 higher in spot June. Week to week, though, other than $2.35 higher in spot June, live cattle futures closed an average of $3.55 lower, giving back a little more than half of what was gained the previous week. Along with fed cattle, cash calf and feeder cattle prices mainly increased last week in the face of volatile futures trade, which was clouded by how soon and how much packing capacity will return, the growing backlog of market-ready fed cattle, as well as demand uncertainty tied to the reopening of the U.S. economy and consumer economic wherewithal. Nationwide, calves and feeder cattle traded $1 to $5 a hundredweight higher, according to AMS. Those analysts say that the strongest demand continues to be for light calves suitable for backgrounding. As well, they noted that auction volume continued heavy as cattle came to town from winter wheat and ryegrass pastures in the Southern Plains. Feeder cattle futures closed an average of 41 cents higher on Friday. Week to week, however, they were an average of $3.89 lower, giving back about half of what was gained the previous week. According to Andrew P. Griffith, agricultural economist at the University of Tennessee, in his weekly market comments, the past couple of weeks give the appearance that the market may be finding some stability. The key to a stronger feeder cattle market, he says, is feedlots being able to move the current cattle out, opening up pen space, and that can only be done if slaughter rates begin to accelerate. The thought is that cattle prices will recover as slaughter capacity recovers, Griffith says. He adds that there will be some changes to seasonal tendencies as fewer cattle have been placed in feedlots the past couple of months. But he says those seasonal changes may not be as drastic as some people may think, pointing out the cattle that are still in the country are going to be heavier weight placements, which means fewer days on feed. Major U.S. financial indices closed higher Friday after a volatile trading session and amid mixed economic data. On the one hand, U.S. retail and food services sales plummeted 16.4% in April compared to the previous month, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. Sales were 21.6% less than the previous April and worse than traders expected. On the other hand, the closely watched Index of Consumer Sentiment from the University of Michigan edged higher month-to-month in May, up 2.6% to 73.7, but 26.3% below the previous year. Pressure also included more political saber-rattling between the U.S. and China. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed 60 points higher, the S&P 500 closed 11 points higher, and the NASDAQ was up 70 points. Beware knee-jerk reactions. That comes to mind as rhetoric grows for the government to mandate that beef packers buy a minimum percentage of their weekly needs in the spot cash market. First, it was something called the 30-14 movement, advocating that packers be forced by the government to buy at least 30% in the cash market each week, and that those cattle be delivered within 14 days. Then last week, Senator Chuck Grassley, an Iowa Republican, and Senator John Tester, a Montana Democrat, introduced a bill that would require packers to buy at least 50% in the cash market each week for delivery within 14 days. For perspective, over time, on average, and nationally, figure 20 to 25% of all fed cattle trade in the spot cash market, but the percentage of reported cash trades is minuscule in some regions some weeks. In Colorado, for instance, cash prices are rarely reported due to confidentiality rules attached to livestock mandatory reporting. So, few would argue the value of deeper cash trade for the purposes of price discovery. Debate continues over just how much sustained cash trade in a particular region is required for effective price discovery. According to pioneering research conducted by Stephen Koontz, agricultural economist at Colorado State University a few years back, the percentage varies by region. The primary reason cash trade thinned over time is the increased use of what are termed alternative marketing arrangements, or AMAs, for fed cattle. Think here of things like formulas and forward contracts. In turn, there are practical reasons more cattle feeders favored marketing more fed cattle via AMAs over time. Chiefly, it has to do with reducing transaction costs and the ability to differentiate cattle and be rewarded or discounted relative to specific packer demands. AMAs enabled the price incentives to differentiate beef products. In fact, some would say this ability to pull more beef through the system, more in line with consumer demand, was the cornerstone for turning the corner on consumer beef demand in the United States. That was in about 1998. Before then, domestic consumer beef demand declined an average of 1% per year for two consecutive decades. Add it all up, and Koontz says, the use of forward contracts benefits those that use them by $15 to $25 a head. The use of formula arrangements benefits those that use them by $25 to $40 a head. Mandating the use of the negotiated cash market, he says, will have negative economic consequences commensurate with these amounts and to the extent of the mandate. That's from a recent letter Koontz wrote to the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, clarifying his position and his research after some in the pro-mandate movement tried using his research to defend their stance. That research includes the Price Discovery Research Project, as well as the congressionally mandated USDA GPSA Livestock and Meat Marketing Study, for which he served as the lead economist. In his letter, Koontz explains, my research does examine the impact of declining negotiated cash trade on price discovery in regional and national fed cattle markets, and it also attempts to make recommendations as to the needed volumes of cash trade for minimal and robust price discovery. But my work does not recommend, and I do not support a mandate of a given percentage of cash trade. The main issue I have with the policy proposal is it would cost the cattle and beef industry millions and possibly billions of dollars per year. This is known from research in which I participated. Bottom line, Koontz says, there are many ways to increase the volume of cash trade and cash trade data without government mandates. He outlined some of those in his previous research, and some state organizations are currently exploring the alternatives and variations to them. For instance, in a recent letter to Congress, Paul DeFore, chairman of the Texas Cattle Feeders Association, said that while TCFA supports increasing price discovery through a greater volume of negotiated trade, we cannot support a government mandate. Instead, he explained the organization is actively working to achieve a similar outcome through free market mechanisms. DeFore explained, one such concept is a new marketing cooperative that puts small and large producers on equal footing to achieve the common goal of robust negotiated price discovery each week. They're also examining the viability of a bid-the-grid concept on the transparent Fed Cattle Exchange platform. Additionally, he said the association is exploring options with consolidated beef producers, an existing marketing cooperative created by TCFA in 2000. Likewise, Kuntz explains, some state associations are looking at ways to pay what are known as market makers for providing cash trade, which is a public good. Those who trade in the cash market enable price discovery. Those who trade cattle outside of the cash market benefit from the discovered cash price, but do nothing to help discover that price or reward those who do. Kuntz explains that many asset markets utilize market makers, where industry participants work together to create and compensate a pool of cash market traders who are discovering price, are good at the service, and willing to do it within their business model and for the benefit of the industry. It would be less costly than a mandate, he says, and open to changes in how the industry does business in the future. Far as that goes, adjusting the rules of the Livestock Mandatory Reporting Act would provide more cash trade data. That act is up for reauthorization this fall. Joint research by Kansas State and Iowa State universities shows that expanding the reporting regions would reduce the incidence of non-reporting due to confidentiality, Kuntz explains. After the Senate bill was introduced last week, Todd Wilkinson said, any solution must not restrict an individual producer's freedom to pursue marketing avenues that they determine best suit their business's unique needs. Wilkinson is a rancher in South Dakota and serves as policy division chair for NCBA. Government mandates like that being proposed by Senator Grassley would arbitrarily force many cattle producers to change the way they do business, Wilkinson explained. He added, we will continue to work toward a more equitable solution and invite Senator Grassley and other lawmakers interested in this conversation to join us in the search for an industry-led solution based on free market principles. That's your Cattle Current Market Update for the late weekend and Monday morning, the 18th of May. This is Wes Ishmael. Thanks for listening.